You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
Our words of wisdom are Psalms chapter 19, verses 1 and 2.
The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge.
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
In case you haven't heard, there will be a solar eclipse tomorrow. A solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes between the earth and the sun, thereby obscuring the view of the sun from a small part of the earth, either totally or partially. In the 21st century, a solar eclipse means eclipse parties. We are all invited to a solar eclipse party and groundbreaking for our new Dark Sky Discovery Center at Centennial Circle by our community center, starting at 10:30 tomorrow morning. There will be telescopes set up to safely view the eclipse. Or I have 35 pair of solar eclipse glasses, all for your taking, all NASA approved, if you wish to take a pair to watch this amazing show in the sky from your patio. There are even total eclipse of the heart event occurring around the country. One annual music festival in Rushville, Arkansas, is offering what it calls a unique, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for astro-loving partners to get married and declare they love each other to the moon and back. Viewers will be able to experience a partial eclipse in Arizona, about 70%. We begin to see the eclipse around 10:08 a.m., April 8th. And the maximum eclipse will occur around 11:20 a.m. and then ending around 1:02 p.m. Pastor David is in Austin, Texas, to witness the total eclipse from one of the best vantage points. Speaking of Pastor David, here is our Greek lesson for the day. The English word eclipse comes from the Greek eklepo, meaning disappearance, abandonment. The ancient Greeks thought a solar eclipse is the moment in which the sun disappears, abandoning the world. It was like being forsaken by a god. It was considered a terrible crisis and an existential threat. It meant that the king would fall and that terrible misfortune would rain down upon the world, or that demons had swallowed the sun. Eclipses weren't always seen as a cosmic calamity. For some cultures, the eclipse was an act of creation. The sun and the moon were coupling and would create more stars. Sometimes they just meant that the sun and the moon, who were usually understood to be a celestial couple, were working out their issues. Celestial marriage counseling. For others, it was a random and chaotic act by a trickster or a mischievous child causing trouble just for the heck of it. As explained by Dove Newman in his analysis of this folk culture, in literature, the sun is eclipsed because it cannot stand the tragic happenings here in world history. Imagine you are a Plains Indian on a perfect summer day, hunting buffalo under a cloudless prairie sky. Suddenly, for no reason, the sun begins to go dark. You go through a twilight like you've never seen. You go and see shadows like you've never seen. You see colors like you've never seen. The hair on your neck stands straight up. And then you see what looks like a hole in the sky, and you're terrified. Anthony Aveni is a professor of astronomy and anthropology at Colgate University. In his new book, In the Shadow of the Moon, Aveni tells stories of how cultures through the ages have related to solar eclipses. In some pre-modern societies, the sun was itself seen as a living thing. During a solar eclipse, some people figured out that the sun was being eaten and needed to be alerted to the danger it faced. Some other ancient thoughts were that the gods are angry with us, or a demon is eating the sun. The sun and the moon are working some things out. Someone's just messing with us for no good reason, because the world is full of chaos. Those who believed in one God, like the Jews, didn't see the sun as a cosmic player, but a solar eclipse scared them as well. They turned to their rabbis for guidance. Here are some of the ancient rabbinical teachings as recorded in the Talmud. In Judaism, human actions have consequences. So when the rabbis in the Talmud experienced the darkness of a solar eclipse, they thought it was a curse and asked what could have led to this frightening event. Some randomly explanations appear in the Talmud. Among them, an eclipse could follow from a chief rabbi not being properly eulogized at his death. Once it became clear that an eclipse could be predicted, of course, it was much harder to see it as a divine response to some human conduct. And yet, the notion that an eclipse is a sign or prophecy from God has persisted through some religious circles. Even today, some of our Christian brothers and sisters are convinced that the eclipse will usher in the end times. In faith traditions that now fully accept the science, a solar eclipse remains an occasion that highlights the wonders of the universe and our small part in it. Today, an eclipse is no longer seen as a threat or an omen, but as something to be celebrated. An eclipse should be witnessed with joy and happiness and appropriate psalms and blessings. Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2 tell us, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night declares knowledge." I like Eugene Peterson's paraphrase from The Message on these verses. God's glory is on tour in the skies, Godcraft on exhibit across the horizon. Madam Day holds classes every morning. Professor Knight lectures each evening. Isn't that a cool scientific spin on the psalm? Carl Sagan reminds us that the reappearance of the crescent moon after the new moon, the return of the sun after a total eclipse, the rising of the sun in the morning after its troublesome absence at night, were noted by people around the world. These phenomena spoke to our ancestors of the possibility of surviving death. Up there in the skies was also a metaphor of immortality. The Privileged Planet, a book by Guillermo Gonzalez and Jay Richards, talks about the magnificence of a total eclipse on Earth. Did you know that the sun is 400 times further away from the Earth than our moon? But it's also 400 times larger. This means that both heavenly bodies appear to be the same size to us on Earth. This phenomenal coincidence also makes a total eclipse possible. It was Welsh-born Bonnie Tyler that wrote the song and sang in 1983, The Total Eclipse of the Heart. It was very popular, and over the years, Total Eclipse of the Heart has enjoyed continued success and popularity. During the real solar eclipses, the song experiences a surge of streams and sales, serving as a soundtrack for some of these awe-inspiring celestial events. The lyrics mention a total eclipse of the heart, which serves as a central metaphor in the song. A total eclipse represents the moment when darkness overshadows the light, mirroring the feelings of the narrator. It symbolizes the overwhelming intensity of emotions as the heart is consumed by darkness, leaving the narrator feeling lost and unsure. But even in the darkness, there is a glimmer of hope. The lines, "And I need you now tonight," "And I need you more than ever," express a deep yearning for love and support. The narrator longs for their partner's embrace, hoping it will bring solace and meaning to their lives. During Lent, we had readings and we extinguished candles each Sunday, leading us to the darkness of Good Friday, reminding us that when all seemed lost, we knew that there would be light and life again on Easter morning.
Is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death.
I love quotes, and I have a few quotes about solar eclipses that I hope you will enjoy and get a real nugget of truth and insight. Darkness tries to eclipse light, but as long as there is love, shadows remain illusions, only that. And Victor Hugo, he said that nations, like stars, are entitled to eclipse. All is well, provided the light returns and the eclipse does not become endless night. Dawn and resurrection are synonymous. The reappearance of the light is the same as the survival of the soul. And here's some good advice from a solar eclipse. See the total picture. Be moved by beauty. Live in the moment. Celebrate nature's cycles. Don't be afraid of the dark. Be naturally phenomenal. Lighten up. Most of us have faced some kind of challenge in our lives where we have felt the darkness, felt abandoned or lack of love or uncertainty, not knowing what might lie ahead. I want to share my total eclipse of the heart story. I was born with congenital cataracts, something that my parents and the eye specialist noticed right away. I had okay vision in the left eye, but only bright light perception in my right eye. I started wearing glasses in kindergarten and got the usually teasing, four eyes. But I was a strong personality and made friends easily. I tried and wanted to do everything that everybody else did. My parents did not baby me about this, for which I am forever grateful. I didn't even know that I didn't have depth perception until I started driving a car. I learned ways to compensate along the way. When I was 25 years old, we were on a motorcycle vacation traveling through many of the eastern states. It was on this trip that a cataract on my right eye ripened and spread a blurry, dark film over my good eye. By the time we got home, I was having great difficulty seeing to do everyday things. I couldn't drive a car or find things in the grocery store. But the worst part was that I was unable to see my son, Derek's face. His features were a blur, and not just because his 2.5-year-old body was moving around fast. We went right to the eye specialist as soon as we got home from the trip. But he was reluctant to remove the cataract on my, quote, good eye. So we operated on my bad eye first. We learned that since I had not used it for 25 years, the optic nerve had shriveled. Still no vision there. 6 months later, I desperately wanted to have the cataract removed from my right eye. The doctor said, "I am still reluctant. If anything happens to that eye, you could be permanently blind." I said, "I am already acting like a blind person. I am willing to take the risk." And so he agreed to do the surgery. Meanwhile, my church family in Urbana was praying for me and helping me to do the things in my daily life that I needed help with. I felt so supported by their acts of kindness and their prayers. The night before surgery, I felt a wonderful calm, as if their prayers were buoyed me up. A peace surrounded me like I was floating on a cloud. I was not afraid. I knew I was truly going to be okay, no matter what. I still remember the prayer I prayed that night. "God, I know you love me and want the best for me. Whatever the outcome of this surgery, if it is blindness, help me be the best blind person I can be. If it is sight, help me be the best sighted person I can be." 3 days later, when the bandages came off, everything was bright but fuzzy. Then they handed me the Coke bottle glasses. Everything came into focus. I could see leaves on trees, feathers on birds. I could read books again. But best of all, I could see Derek's face. This is my eclipse story. It was a total eclipse of the heart, a love from my family and my church family that loved me into the light. I'd like to share with you a stream of thought as we end our time together today. The moon loves the sun just as shadows love light. Love your shadow until your love transforms it into light. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputtlovefirst.org.